Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to read verses 22 through 30. The Bible says this, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow doth not cast out devils but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And if by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is coming to you. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house?" And our text verse will be verse 30 this morning. "He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for your word. I pray that you bless now the preaching of your word. And God, speak to our hearts through it. God, how we need you. And thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word bringeth light. And Lord, we need that light inside of us today. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As many of you know, a week before last, I took five of our young men up to Dwight, Illinois, just south of Chicago, and we went to football camp. And when you say football camp, you may not necessarily get a full picture of what that means. It's actually the largest full-contact football camp in the whole United States. It's a Christian camp put on, and over 200 young men came. And this isn't just, you know, touch football you play in the backyard, okay? This isn't even, you know, we like to say flag football, which really it's flackle football, okay, that we play around here sometimes. I mean, this is full pad, full contact football. And so we had a great time, and I appreciate our young men that went. And honestly, too, folks, it wasn't just football camp. It was preaching camp. And over 25 times, a man of God stood with the Word of God and preached to those young men. And just a lot of good things happened. I believe there was about 18 young men saved. There were, I want to say, 30-some called to the ministry. There were over 500 decisions made in young men's lives that week we were there. But as I was at football camp, and I don't know about you, but I like football. And I understand that, you know, we need to have a balance when it comes to sports. I think our world's a little crazy when it comes to sports, and it's almost become a god in some people's lives. But I think if you have a balance right, there's nothing wrong with sports. And but I like football. It's one of my favorite sports. And as I began to think about football camp and think about preaching, I want to preach a message entitled this morning, "Come Join the Team." Come join the team. What I like about football is that it's a team sport. It doesn't matter how good a single player might be, but the truth of the matter is that no one person can make a successful team. I mean, you know, the best quarterback in the world may be great and may be a superstar and may be the MVP, but you know what? You take away his offensive line and how great would he be? He's only as great as if everyone is doing their job. Now, if this is, it is true that there are certain players that may be better than others, but everybody doing their job is important. I like being part of a winning team. And I'm unfortunate to say that I helped coach the red team, and we were 0-4 this year. And it was pretty sad, actually, because we had a three-year streak going on where we had won the Super Bowl every year, and we got beat this year. So I was kind of disappointed about that. Let me just say something. It's no fun being a loser, okay? I mean, it's fun to win. It stinks to lose. And I'm going to tell you something. We've lost in this day and age in our young men. We've lost competitiveness. And let me tell you something, folks, it's not wrong to be competitive. And I think we need to, you know, make sure that we do it within the right spirit and have a good attitude when we lose. But you know what? Losing stinks. I don't want to lose. I hate losing. Okay? You know, I'm sorry, I don't agree with the saying, it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. I don't agree with that. Hey, you know, I'm not sure who the politically correct sap was that made that saying up, but it simply isn't true. He was probably a lousy coach who couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. I don't know. But let me just say this. I hate to lose. I mean, hey, even when I'm at home playing a board game with my kids, okay, I get into it. Ask my wife, okay? I've even been known to cheat a few times. But no, not really. They just make that up about me. But but I never cheat when I play in golf, ever. So But no, the truth of the matter is, look, folks, you know what? Nobody likes losing. Truthfully, at the end of the day, whether or not somebody wins a game or not, it's not going to matter 100 years from now. That's not going to matter. But let me say this. Whether or not you win or lose spiritually will have a huge eternal impact. Huge eternal impact. My job today is to be a recruiter. I want you to leave here today on the right team. I want to show you why you should come join the team. By the way, let me say this. Everybody's on a team. Yes, you are. There's only two kinds of different people that are living in the world. You say, no, there's not. There's millions of different people with million kinds of beliefs. Let me say this. Everyone falls into one of two categories. Everyone is on one or two teams. Notice what Jesus said in our text. He that is not with me is against me. Did you hear what he said? He that is not with me is against me. Every person in this world and every person in this room today, you're either on God's team or you're on the devil's team. You're on one or two teams. You say, well, I've never joined any team. I'm not on either. Well, Jesus said this in John 3:18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Here's the truth, folks. If you haven't made the conscious decision to join God's side, then that automatically makes you on the devil's team. Automatically. But I have good news. If you came here today not on the right team, you can switch sides today. You don't have to spend another day playing for the wrong team. You don't have to spend another day belonging to a team with a losing record. God is waiting to draft you today, and if you're willing to accept his offer, and today I want to try to convince you that you should join the right team. Now, I like getting the bad news over with first. All right, if I get a choice between the good news and the bad news, I'll take the bad news first, okay? So I'm going to start by giving you the stats why you should not stay on the devil's team. Now, all I can do is give you the true facts that have been recording in the stat books of all stat books, and that's the Word of God, and let you make the decision. And I want to give you some of the truths from the Bible and let you decide why, if you're on the devil's team, you shouldn't stay on his team today. All right, number one reason you shouldn't stay on the devil's team, he's a lousy team captain. He's a lousy captain. The Bible says this about the devil in John 8:44. Ye of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, according to that verse we just read, Satan is full of lust. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. Hey, as your captain, he may tell you something, but you can't believe what he tells you because he is a liar. Kind of like what he told Eve in Genesis 3:14. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Was that the truth? Of course it wasn't the truth. What happened to Adam and Eve? Well, Genesis 3:19, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Hey, if turning into dust isn't dying, I don't know what is. And you know what? The devil is a lousy team captain. The Bible says this also of the devil, that he's proud in 1 Timothy 3:6. The Bible says he's wicked in 1 John 2:13. The Bible says he's malignant in Job 1:9. He's subtle in Genesis 3:1. He's deceitful in 2 Corinthians 11:14. He's fierce and cruel in 1 Peter 5:8. Hey, if you can't trust your captain when you're in the game, who can you trust? Let me say this, folks. The devil is a lousy team captain. I did some research and I found the 8 worst leaders of all time. Number one on the list was Adolf Hitler. Under Adolf Hitler's rule, there were 5.9 million Jews that were murdered. There were 3.3 million Soviet POWs. There was 1.8 to 2 million non-Jewish Poles that were murdered. There were between 220,000 and 270,000 Romanian gypsies that were murdered. There were, get this, 200,000 to 250,000 disabled people that were murdered. There were approximately 5,000 Jehovah's Witnesses that were murdered. That's a total of 8.5 million people Adolf Hitler murdered. You know why? Because he played on the wrong team. Mao Zedong from China, he founded the Chinese Communist Party and was responsible for the deaths of more than 10 times as many people as Hitler. Joseph Stalin launched a great purge in the 30s that rid the Communist Party of nearly every person who had brought him to power. According to Soviet nuclear physicist Andrew Sarkozy estimated more than 1.2 million party members were arrested. 600,000 of those died by torture or execution. You know why? Because Joseph Stalin played for the wrong team. Pol Pot, he was influenced by Mao's Cultural Revolution, and 25% of Cambodia's population died from starvation, overwork, and execution in Pol Pot's attempt to form a communist peasant farming society. He conducted deadly purges to rid the area of the old society, and anyone suspected of being disloyal was shot or bludgeoned with an axe. You know why? Because he played for the wrong team. Kim Jong-il of North Korea. In the world's most tightly controlled society, roughly 250,000 civilians are in re-education camps, and a majority of the nation is malnourished. Robert Mugabe from Zimbabwe. While Africa isn't the greatest continent to live on, Zimbabwe has the world's highest inflation rate, 80% unemployment rate, and since 1988, the life expectancy has dropped from 62 to 38. In 2005, Mugabe launched operation called Clean the Filth, which forced the eviction of 700,000 people to restore order and sanity. You know why? Because he plays for the wrong team. Omar al-Bashir, his campaign of religious ethnic persecution has ended the lives of 180,000 people in Sudan and has driven over 2 million people from their homes. Ivan the Impaler in the 15th century. Author Bram Stoker based his signature character Dracula on him. However, known as Ivan the Impaler, he did not kill to feed, but for the pleasure of watching others suffer. It has been said that he caused more rivers of blood than any other tyrant in history. Dracula is a teddy bear compared to this guy. Where do you think all these evil men throughout history have gotten their inspiration? They got it from their team captain. The evil that I've just read to you was directly inspired by the team leader of evil itself, and that is the devil. Now, folks, listen to me. You don't want to be on his team. He's a lousy team captain. Number two, why shouldn't you be on the devil's team? He doesn't care about his teammates. He doesn't care about his teammates. The Bible tells us that he wants to possess you. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. By the way, he played for the devil. Let's see how it worked out for him. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And oh, as night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Does that sound like someone to you who plays for a captain who cares about him? I don't think so. Not only does the devil want to possess you, the devil wants to blind you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you realize the devil has blinded so many people in this day and age in the name of religion? He's blinded them. They're blind to the truth. You try to talk to them about the truth, and you just can't seem to permeate through. You know why? Because they're blinded by their lousy team captain. Not only that, the devil wants to deceive you. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 7 and 8, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And you know what he's going to do when he's loosed? And he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. These are people who live the earth when Jesus Christ is going to be here personally reigning. People who live in under the rule of Jesus Christ himself. Yet the devil goes forth and deceives them. He wants to deceive you. Not only that, he wants to ensnare you. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now, what makes a good team captain, you may ask? Well, a leader who cares for his teammates. Hey, Satan doesn't care for anyone except himself. You just need to understand that. He doesn't care for anyone except himself. He'll tell you what you want to hear in order for you to do his bidding. And then when he's done with you, he'll puke you out in the garbage pile of pain, despair, and regret. That's the team captain who you're playing for if you're on the devil's team this morning. That's what he wants to do. Hey, think about Judas. The Bible says this about Judas. Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I give the sup. When I have dipped it, the sop, I have dipped it. And when he had dipped it, he gave to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon." Listen to this. "And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto them, that thou doest, do quickly." Hey, the devil came in and he possessed Judas. And he promised Judas this. He promised Judas that. How do you think it worked out for Judas when he did the devil's bidding? Did Satan treat him fair? Did Satan take care of his boy Judas? Well, let's read this. "For he was numbered with us and obtained part of the ministry," speaking of Judas. "Now this man purchased a field with the reward of his iniquity." You ready? You ready what ends when you play on the devil's team? "And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst and his bowels gushed out." You know why? He played for the wrong team. Young people, listen. He got deceived by the devil and thought it was going to be fun to play on his team for a while. He kind of got that glitter in his eye of what the possessions the devil promised him, but look where he ended up. I mean, hey, I can't think of a more gruesome scene than that. He fell headlong and his bowels gushed out. You know what? That's what the playing for the devil's team will get you. All right? Hey, so what I'm trying to say this morning is you don't want to be on his team. Hey, he's a lousy team captain. He doesn't care about his teammates. And let me say this. He's not going to win. He's not going to win. If you're on the devil's team this morning, you're on a stinking losing team. Because he's not going to win. Why in the world would you want to be part of a team if you knew for a fact there was no chance of winning? It would kind of like being on the Pittsburgh Steelers, okay? Or the ISU Sycamores. I mean, you know, fill in the blank. Okay? Listen, the devil's not going to win. Bible says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Hey, does that sound like a victory dance in the end zone to you? Hey, does that sound like a trip to Disneyland after winning the Super Bowl? Hey, by the way, you won't find anywhere in the Bible where the devil's going to be ruling hell from his throne. You don't find that in the Bible. Did you see what the Bible says about the devil? "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." You know that word torment means torture. And you know who's going to have the hottest and the worst and the most painful existence in eternity in hell? It's going to be the old devil himself. He ain't going to be in hell. He don't want to be in hell any more than anybody else does. Okay, you know why? He's a defeated foe. He's a defeated foe. He's not going to win. But to me, the sad part isn't the fact that the devil isn't going to win. You know what? I mean, he's been a loser from the beginning anyway. I mean, ever since pride entered into his heart and he held the position as Lucifer the archangel and he rebelled against God and God kicked him out of heaven, he's been a loser from that day that the seed of pride entered his heart. The sad fact is that he's going to take all those that are on his team to meet the same fate. That's the sad part. Revelation 20:15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life," or we could say this, "whosoever played on the devil's team was cast into the lake of fire." That's what playing for the devil is going to get you. Hey, you know what? God didn't leave us clueless as to what was going to happen to all those that stay on the team of the devil. Hey, it's not a mystery, okay? It's not like betting the odds in Vegas on who's going to win the Super Bowl. That's not what it is, okay? All right, you know what it is? You know who's going to lose. You know for a fact he is not going to win. God tells us plainly in his word who's going to win the victory. Now, I know now when you look around, it seems like the devil's the one that's winning. I know when we look around and we see what's going on, we think maybe he's the one that's winning. I know that right now the scoreboard looks like it's going to be a landslide victory for the forces of darkness. But let me say this, the game's not over yet. It's not over yet. And even though they may be ahead right now, I promise you, in the end, they will not be victorious. So if you're on the devil's team, guess what? You don't want to stay there. If you're on his team, you want to switch teams as soon as possible. Hey, he's a lousy team captain. He doesn't care about his teammates. He's not going to win. Now, I think maybe I hear the phone ringing. I think maybe it's your manager calling, telling you there's another team wanting to offer you a position. I think maybe you ought to look and see what God's team has to offer. Let me give you some reasons this morning why you want to be on God's team. Amen. Number one, he's the best team captain there ever was. He's the best team captain, not there ever was, but that is right now. He's the best one. The Bible says this about Jesus, that he's the captain of the Lord's host. I love this passage here. Back in the book of Joshua, when Joshua and the children of Israel were getting ready to go into Jericho and lead the campaign to conquer Canaan. And Joshua, as the great leader he was, decided to go spend some time alone and just spend some time with the Lord. And here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and saith unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Hey, you know who Joshua met that night? He met Jesus Christ as captain of the Lord of hosts. I love Joshua's question. He says, "Whose side are you on?" He says, "Are you come to take our side or you come to take their side?" And he says, "I'm not come to take any side. I've come to take over, amen. And I'm going to lead you into that land, and we're going to conquer, and take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." You know why? Because he's the captain of the Lord's hosts. Not only that, the Bible says of Jesus that he's the captain of salvation. Hebrews 2:10, "For it become him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus is the captain of the Lord's host. He's the captain of salvation. And you know what? Just as Satan is a lousy team captain, Jesus is the best team captain. The Bible says this of Jesus in 1 John 1:5, that he is light. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that he is love. The Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 2, he's eternal. 1 Timothy 1:17, he's immortal. Genesis 17:1, he's omnipotent. Psalm 139, 1 through 6, he's omniscient. Psalm 102, 26, he's immutable. Romans 16:27, he's only wise. In Psalm 145, 5, he's glorious. In Psalm 33:18, he's the most high. In Matthew 5:48, he's perfect. In Psalm 99:9, he's holy. In Isaiah 45:21, he's just. In John 17:3, he's true. In Psalm 25:8, he's upright. In Psalm 145:17, he's righteous. In Psalm 119:68, he's good. In Psalm 86:10, he's great. In Psalm 116:5, he's gracious. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, he's faithful. And the list could go on and on and on. I don't know about you, I want to be on that team. That's the team I want to play on. Hey, sounds like a pretty good captain, doesn't it? Hey, it sure beats the captain who's a murderer, thief, and a liar. Sure beats that captain. You know what? Jesus is the best team captain. Let me give you another reason. You know why? Jesus cares for his teammates. Jesus cares for those that are on his team. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." He cares for you. He cares for his teammates. In fact, he cared so much that he paid the highest wage ever just so you could be on his team. Now, y'all know this, and it's actually pretty ridiculous in America that people are paid this kind of money. But teams will pay ungodly amounts of money just so they can have certain players on their teams. All right? Hey, in 2013, the New Orleans Saints signed Drew Brees to a five-year, $100 million contract. Green Bay Packers signed Aaron Rodgers to a five-year, $110 million contract. The Baltimore Ravens signed Joe Flacco 6 years for $120.6 million contract. In 2013, Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, earned $38.3 million. In 2013, Peyton Manning for the Denver Broncos earned $30 million. Now, you know what? Those teams are willing to pay ridiculous money just to have a player on their team. Now, none of us is ever going to see money like that, but let me say this. The price that was paid so you could be on God's team makes all these millions of dollars look less valuable than Monopoly money. Because the Bible says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Folks, listen, the blood of Christ is so valuable and precious that one day when we're in heaven, this will be the scene in Revelation 5:9. "And they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by the blood, by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations." You are bought with something more valuable than any material possession on this earth anyone could ever have. You are bought, you are allowed to be on the team of Jesus Christ through his own precious blood. I don't know about you, but this team sounds like a pretty good team to be on. Sounds like a pretty good team. So not only do you have the best team captain, not only do you have a team captain who cares for his teammates, but are you ready for the best part? You get on Jesus' team, guess what? You're going to be on the team that wins. You're going to be part of the winning team. Hey, you decide you sign up with Jesus Christ and you take his deal. Let me tell you something. You won't be a loser. I promise you that. Now, we're going to turn here because we just need to read these verses and we need to see these verses. Because sometimes life gets discouraging and sometimes the devil makes us feel like we may be on the wrong team. And sometimes we get our eyes on the world and we get to see what's going on out here and we're thinking, what are we doing? We're losing. Why are we playing for Jesus Christ? Everybody's against us. We need to flip back here and see what's going to happen. Amen. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. You're part of the winning team. Here's what the Bible says. Let's read these. Man, I love these verses. I've read these many a times before. I've used them in many messages before. And guess what? They never get old. I love reading them. Amen. Revelation chapter 19. Let's begin reading in verse 11. Now think about this. Okay, think about, hey, if you're on the devil's team this morning, you think about this. You think about as we read these verses and think about that Jesus Christ wants you on his team. All right, here's what he says, verse 11, chapter 19. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him is called Faithful and True. Hey, guess what? That's our team captain right there. There's the captain of our salvation right there. There's the captain of the Lord's host right there. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. Hey, you know what? That's the teammates right there. Hey, that's where you want to be, amen? You want to be following your team captain, riding out on the field behind him on a white horse, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. There's our team uniform right there. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. Yeah. Now skip over with me to verse 19. Look what he says here. Here's the losing team. You want to see what happens to them? You want to see what happens in the fourth quarter when the clock's out and the game's over? Here you go, verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and him with the false prophet and that wrought miracles before him, which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped the image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Hey, guess what? That's what happens if you're playing the devil's team. Verse 21, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Hey, guess what? Hey, you know what? You know who did that? The winning captain did that. Amen? Hey, Jesus, our captain, won that battle, wins that battle. Let's go to verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Skip on down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, to the number of whom is the sand of the sea. He thinks he's going to get a little overtime going on here. Look what happens in verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And devoured them. Hey, you know what that is? That's the devil getting his tail whooped right there. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them, you ready, was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Hey, if you're on Jesus' team, you have won the victory. After reading those verses, I think I'm going to have to maybe get a penalty in the end zone for excessive celebration. Hey, I don't know if I even know how to dance the jig, but if I did, I'd probably be doing it right now. You know why? That's because I'm on the right team. All right? I'm on the right team. Now, why in the world, after seeing the stat book, would you want to remain on the devil's team? Why would you want to stay on this team? What did he ever do for you? What did he ever do for you? Hey, did the devil leave heaven to be born of a virgin? Was his face spit upon and his beard plucked out? Did the devil wear a crown of thorns upon his brow? Was the devil scourged 39 times with a cat of nine tails? Did he have spikes driven through his hands and feet? Did he hang on an old rugged cross and pay your sin debt? Did he have the sins of the whole world poured upon him from God Almighty? Did he cry in the darkest hour of agony, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? The answer is no. So why would you want to be on his team? Why would you want to be on his team? He's a lousy team captain. He doesn't care for his teammates. He isn't going to win. Jesus, on the other hand, is the best team captain. He cares for his teammates. He has already and will one day win the battle. Now, as the recruiter for God's team, I urge you today, if you're on the devil's team, and by the way, if you're not saved, you are on the devil's team. If you're not saved. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never been unsaved, bad news, you're on the losing team this morning. But you know what the good news is? You can leave here being on the right team. Hey, you can switch up right now. Hey, there's no penalty of contracts. You're not going to have to get penalized for joining up. Okay? You can come this morning, just a few minutes. We're going to have an invitation. And if you're not saved, if I were you, the first thing I would do, I would make my foot hit that aisle, get down to this altar, and I would get on the right team this morning. If you already are on God's team, why don't you decide today to leave it all on the field? When we were at football camp, probably one of the things that the coaches really emphasized to the young people, if you heard it once, you heard it a lot that week, leave it all on the field. Hey, if you haven't noticed by looking around at our world today, guess what? We're well into the fourth quarter. Hey, I'd even say we're under the two-minute warning. Hey, you know what? The numbers are ticking off. The whistle's about to blow. The game will be forever over in not that much time. Now's not the time to put it in cruise control or coast to the finish line. Hey, as Christians, let's dig deep, fight through the blood, fight through the sweat, fight through the tears, and give it all we got until that whistle blows, that trumpet sounds, and call us all home for the greatest celebration of victory we could ever have. Leave it all on the field. I mean, dig deep. Hey, you know what? You may have some owies. Leave it on the field. Hey, you may even have a serious injury. Leave it on the field. Get out there. Finish your course. Fight the fight. And keep the faith. All right? The game's not over yet. There's still time to accomplish things for the Lord. So I urge you today, if you're not saved today, if you're on the devil's team, we're going to have an invitation. Why don't you come up here and join teams this morning? Come join him. Hey, you know what? Hey, you don't have to be a certain age to join this team. Okay? Hey, children join the team all the time. Praise the Lord. Just a few weeks ago, we had, I forget the number, 30-some young people come join God's team, amen, in Vacation Bible School. Hey, probably out in Children's Church, Brother Gordon's preaching the gospel, and there's probably some young people joining the right team today. Praise the Lord, there was a soul this Wednesday in Teen Soul Ring that joined the right team. Hey, listen, folks, hey, you don't have to just be an adult to join this team. If you're a young person here today, if you're a teenager here today, if you're a senior saint here today, all right, and you're not on the right team, you better make sure you come get joined up. Amen? And those of us who are already on the right team, dig deep, leave it all on the field. Leave it all out there. Play through it all. Grit your teeth. And let's see this thing to the finish line. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message this morning. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for being that great and mighty captain, Lord. And thank you that you offer us, Lord, an opportunity to play for you and your team. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you love us and caring about us. And Lord, even when we mess up and even when we fumble and even when we drop the pass and mess up the play, you still love us and care about us and offer us another opportunity to get back there and play for you. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord, if there's someone that's on the devil's team today, Lord, that today they'd make the switch and they'd come join your team. And Lord, just help us today, God, we need you. I pray you'd bless this invitation now. And Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.